the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to a new edition of Vatican Insider on this third weekend in October. I'll get to the news ASAP, but first want to tell you to stay tuned after that for the interview segment when my guest is Lisa Petrocelli, an American who spent a week in Rome as a volunteer for the Jubilee Year of Hope. Lisa tells us how she learned about being a volunteer, how to apply, and what it's like when one arrives in Rome. A very interesting story. Now the news highlights. Sunday, October 12th. The Church celebrated the Jubilee of Marian spirituality in the presence of a very special weekend guest, the original statue of Our Lady of Fatima. Crowds were massive in and around St. Peter's Square all weekend. Saturday evening, more than 30,000 pilgrims gathered in the square to pray the rosary in a prayer vigil for the gift of peace, specifically requested by Pope Leo XIV. Sunday morning, he celebrated Mass in the square for the Jubilee of Marian spirituality, urging the faithful to see in the Blessed Mother a model of how to turn to and follow her Son, Jesus Christ. Following Mass, Leo XIV turned his thoughts and prayers to the suffering people of the Holy Land, of Ukraine, and of Peru, where political turmoil has brought instability to the nations. Following that, the statue of Our Lady of Fatima was carried into St. Peter's Basilica, followed by cardinals, bishops, and, of course, the Holy Father. After that, the Holy Father rode the Popemobile for 35 minutes around St. Peter's Square and up Via della Conciliazione, almost to the end. Monday, October 13. In a video message, Pope Leo XIV called on every Catholic parish to take part in World Mission Sunday, October 19th, recalling how the generosity that day concretely enables and sustains the good work of missionaries worldwide, as he saw firsthand while serving in Peru. When I served as a missionary priest and a bishop in Peru, I saw firsthand how the faith, the prayer, and the generosity shown on World Mission Sunday can transform entire communities, provide for pastoral and catechetical programs, help to build new churches, and care for the health and educational needs of our brothers and sisters in mission territories. Also Monday, on the 160th anniversary of the birth of the servant of God, Rafael Mary del Val, Pope Leo XIV met with a group connected to the late cardinal, who was born in 1865 in London. He reflected on the legacy of Cardinal Mary del Val, noting that the Vatican diplomat served the popes of the early 20th century in delicate matters with humility. Leo called him a docile instrument in the diplomatic service of the Holy See during a time marked by great challenges. The future cardinal was born to a Spanish diplomat father and an English mother, growing up in an atmosphere of universality, which he would later recognize as the Church's own vocation. Also Monday, the Holy Father met separately with the presidents of Brazil and Chile. Tuesday, October 14th, the Vatican announced that as humanitarian aid is finally granted access to the Gaza Strip, Pope Leo XIV instructed the Office of Papal Charities to send medicines for the youngest victims of the two-year conflict, and thus 5,000 doses of antibiotics were sent to Gaza for children. The main event on Tuesday was Pope Leo's several-hour official visit to Italian President Sergio Mattarella at the Quirinal Palace, once the summer home of popes. As Bishop of Rome and Primate of Italy, said Leo, it is meaningful for me to renew, through this visit, the strong bond that unites the See of Peter with the Italian people whom you represent, he said to Mattarella. In his speech to the president and assembled guests, Leo encouraged efforts to support the family amid declining birth rates in Europe and to advance the cause of peace in war-torn parts of the world. He thanked the Italian civil authorities for their efforts to welcome the millions of pilgrims who have come to celebrate the Jubilee of Hope, pay their respects to the late Pope Francis, and witness the conclave. Wednesday, October the 15th. During his weekly general audience, Pope Leo reflected on how Jesus sustains us despite everything, saying this truth ought to console us as we experience the ups and downs of life. Reflecting on the realities of human experience, the Holy Father acknowledged the often conflicting emotions and limitations that mark our lives. At times we feel joyful, at other times sad. We may feel fulfilled or stressed, gratified or demotivated. We live busy lives, focusing on results, sometimes even attaining prestigious goals. Other times we remain suspended, precarious, awaiting success or recognition that never comes. In short, he said, we find ourselves in a paradox. We long to be happy, and yet lasting happiness often eludes us. However, remember, Jesus sustains us despite everything. Before the general audience, Pope Leo received a very special, unique gift, a 12-year-old white, purebred Arabian stallion named Proton, a gift from Andrzej Michalski, owner of the Michalski Stables in Kolesberg, Poland. He told Vatican News, when I saw those photos of the future Pope on horseback in Peru, the idea arose to give him a beautiful Arabian horse, one that would be dignified, because white is associated with the white papal cassock. The Pope was very happy, he said. We brought the horse out together. He was very pleased. We were very happy. Proton will live at Casa Gandolfo, and those who know Pope Leo well say he will surely enjoy riding him. Also Wednesday, the Pope received Augustinian Recollect sisters, rejoicing in their God-given joy and encouraging them to continue walking with the Lord. Thursday, October 16th, Pope Leo visited the headquarters of FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations in Rome, to mark World Food Day and the 80th anniversary of the organization's founding. In his address, he reaffirmed the Holy See's closeness to the institution and called for a shared global commitment to end hunger and malnutrition. He said slogans do not lift people from misery. We must place the human person above profit and guarantee food security, access to resources, and sustainable rural development. Also Thursday, Pope Leo XIV sent a message to the Network of Indigenous Peoples and the Network of Indian Theology Theologians as they celebrate the Jubilee Year of Hope, encouraging a rediscovery of the Jubilee Year as a time of grace, forgiveness, and shared hope. Friday, October 17th. Among his audiences, Pope Francis received a group of Catholic pilgrims from Russia on the occasion of their Jubilee pilgrimage. In the afternoon, he visited the peace training ship called Med 25 Bel Espoir, Med 25 Beautiful Hope. Well, those are the week's news highlights, but now stay here for my interview with Lisa Petrocelli, an American who served as a Jubilee volunteer for a week.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the greatest defenders of icons in Christian history.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
When iconoclasts began destroying icons in the Byzantine Empire in the 8th century, St. John Damascene wrote three treatises defending them, a position affirmed in 787 at the Second Council of Nicaea. John was declared a Doctor of the Church in 1890. His feast day is December 4th.
To find out more about the Doctors of the Church, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
In today's world, the stakes are high, and you need a battle plan. Get ready for the Spiritual Fitness Workout. Hard-hitting truths, Catholic clarity, a brotherhood that strengthens your faith like a muscle. Hosted by Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, and Brian Patrick. The Spiritual Fitness Workout video series and downloadable study guide. Anywhere, anytime, on any device. Streaming free November 3rd at EWTN.com/SFW.
There are a lot of ways to pray. When I was in the evangelical world, we didn't like rote prayers that the Catholics prayed. We wanted to say our own prayers. We thought that it was coming more from the heart. Any kind of prayer, whether it comes from the heart and is a loose connection of words, or it is a prayer that the church has had for centuries, is good because it is prayer.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
I just want to welcome my guest to another wonderful weekend guest on Vatican Insider, because we have an Italian from Albany, New York, who is in Rome for the Jubilee as a volunteer. So her name is Lisa Petrocelli. Can you tell by that name? So, Lisa, I want to welcome you to Vatican Insider.
Thank you, Joan. I'm so honored to be here, really.
Well, it's been a fun week because I've been watching your postings on...
Yep.
I knew you were coming. We communicated and everything. And so I've been watching your Facebook postings and everything. But this is certainly not your first time in Italy of Italian origin. Your dad made sure you and your brothers got to know Italy, right?
Yes. So this is actually my seventh time. But it is my first time coming all by myself. Now I feel so empowered, I might start coming every 6 months instead of once a year. So, yes, and I love Rome. First time I came when I was 18, I felt like as if God touched me when I walked into St. Peter's, and never lost that feeling, because every time I went after that, I did the same thing. I said, I wonder if I'm... In the back of my mind, I was thinking, I wonder if I'm going to feel the same way. And I did every single time. It's just awe-inspiring to me.
I've been here decades. I can go from my house, as you can see, to St. Peter's for morning mass. Yeah. I never cease to be stunned by the beauty and the hugeness, the massiveness. But everything is so massive, it seems well-balanced.
Yes.
It's not like this is so small, everything else looks massive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
so.
1 year I did do all four major basilicas.
Oh, good.
And I think that was in 2015 was when I did that. And so fell in love with Santa Maria Maggiore, too. So I was so happy when Pope Francis was buried there.
But you've got four papal basilicas, and then you have what are called the seven pilgrim churches, three other churches, which I'm sure over the years you've probably been to all of them. Mm-hmm. But I am fascinated, and I know our listeners are, by your being a volunteer for a Jubilee. So tell us how you heard about it or read or what.
Okay, well, I knew about the Jubilee because I work for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany, New York. I'm the Secretary for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs under Father Jim Kane, but also Secretary for the Office for Discipleship Formation. So we do a lot of activities and programs for people around the diocese. And I'm always looking on the Vatican website for different ideas. And I saw that. I saw that the Jubilee was looking for volunteers, and I said, volunteers, I wonder if I could do that at my age, because I'm 64, and I can walk, but after having a hip replacement in 2022, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to do, but then I said, well, just walk every day and see, think about it. So I went through the application process, learned that in exchange for volunteering, you get room and board. And that would not have stopped me anyway, because I would have paid if I had to stay, because I wanted to do this really bad.
Sure.
My boss priest, Father Kane, signed the paper. You needed a priest to sign for you. And then I was accepted for the week that I wanted, and this week, October.
Oh, you got to more or less choose
your
time.
You got to choose your week, and I did choose the Jubilee of Marian Spirituality, because I love the rosary.
Because that Jubilee was just this past weekend.
Yes. So becoming accepted was a thrill to me. And, you know, we had to go, because I signed up so early in the year, like almost a year ago, I had to learn a lot about what was going to happen on my own, because the website only told you what was happening each week as far as
the events
individual
were,
Jubilees. But you couldn't get a lot of information about exactly what the volunteers would be doing. So until time went on, they started publishing things. I understood that we were there to help the pilgrims on their journey through the Holy Doors.
Sure.
And not specifically the tourists, although... As I've been here, I see that we're asked to help the crowd with when the tourists too, but it's mostly for the pilgrims that were there. So when we see them coming with the cross and trying to
just to let our listeners know, so that when a group comes, however small or large it is, someone in the group is chosen to lead it. Mm-hmm. It may be the priest or bishop with the group, and they carry a cross that is given to them via the Vatican Jubilee office.
Yes.
You know, and then they walk up a specific walkway.
Yes,
for St. Peter's, it's Via della Conciliazione.
Exactly.
And there's a path to get to the Holy Door.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
And even some Jubilee volunteers have been lucky enough to be asked to carry the cross. If someone in the group didn't want to or couldn't, I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen it on, after making friends with other volunteers on Facebook, I've seen their pictures, so I know that that has been done. Yesterday, for example, there was a group of 250 from Germany, and because they were such a huge group, we had to hold off the crowd to make it so they could all come in together, and they had to wait quite a while.
Oh, sure.
So what the volunteers do is we try to talk to everybody and keep them
occupied. Ask you what bus do they take to get to wherever.
Right,
Well, yesterday I was filming in the square. I film every Monday, just outside of St. Peter's Square, Pius XII Square. I had so much trouble. But you know what? They had two heads of state. They had the president of Brazil and the president of Chile, and all the security measures. There was a labyrinth of barriers in St. Peter's. Via della Conciliazione, which I normally could have crossed where the where you volunteers are, I had to go down a certain section. They had one opening. So you never know what you're going to encounter at the Vatican.
You never know. In fact, I chose to do this. It probably wasn't a good idea, but I chose to come directly from the airport to the info point and go to the orientation right away.
Yeah.
And then go to Domus Spei, where they house the volunteers, without knowing, however, where I was really going to be housed, because there's two places you could have been housed in the Air Force barracks also.
Oh.
So, and they couldn't give you a definite answer until you get there, because it all hinges on how many volunteers actually show up.
Of course.
So I was exhausted, but that first shift, our first shift that night from 1 to 7, Pope Leo wasn't supposed to be part of the rosary. I understood he wasn't supposed to be
part of the
rosary.
Well, that was the rosary was Saturday.
It was Saturday that I got here, because I'm thinking, okay, I flew out on Friday night. That's right.
Okay.
Flew out on Friday night, so I did arrive here on Saturday. And so that was such a treat to just be there.
Of course.
And say the rosary with him.
The Holy Father.
And then the prayer after that, and then...
There were 30,000 people.
Right.
In St. Peter's Square. It was awesome.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the same day they had the Our Lady of Fatima statue.
Our Lady of Fatima, the original statue was in town.
Well, that was the highlight so far. Sure. That was my highlight, because they asked when they were ready to take it out of the Church of Transpontina, I think.
Yes.
They asked all the volunteers to make a human chain on both sides to protect the statue and walk all the way up to the basilica with it, so, like that. That was so moving to me.
I'm moved just as you tell it.
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe how I felt doing that. And while I happened to be right next to the statue while we were walking, and then there was a archbishop. I didn't know if it was archbishop or cardinal, but it was
probably Fisichella.
Yes,
Fisichella, who heads the office in the Vatican that, you know, arranges jubilees and so forth. So
that was the biggest highlight for me so far.
Sure.
You know, and
but now tell me, when you get here, I mean, is there any kind of a training? I mean, a 1 or 2 or 3 hour meeting?
It's an orientation that's about an hour. It's given by the Dicastery for Evangelization staff.
Right.
Only two people. And it's actually very nice. They explain what it means to pilgrims, how volunteers should act around the pilgrims, what we should offer.
And you're recognizable because you have
Everybody wears the lime
colored jacket.
Volunteer jacket.
Now, were you asked on the application form if you spoke any other languages?
They did not ask that on the application, but,
okay.
You know, in some of the information on the website, I do remember them saying anyone could apply from any country of
sure.
any language, but it would be helpful if you knew Italian. Okay, I know a little bit of
sure.
Italian, but I can't speak it. I don't know why I never learned it. My father spoke it right in the house with. So I know enough to recognize what people are talking about. And actually, this morning, people were asking me, because they stationed some of us up near the Holy Door. People were asking me, questions are what you would expect. How do I do the cupola? How do I do the
sure.
Catacombs? Where's the bathroom? You know, that kind of thing. Some people could tell I was American, I think. Just automatically asked in English. But some people recognized I was Italian, asked in Italian, and I've been trying to learn. So
sure.
I was actually
oh, sure.
able to answer a few questions in Italian, which is, see, this is all part of why this trip is such a
oh,
thrill
absolutely.
For me. So,
but you know what thrills me, too, yeah. in hearing, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have written to each other mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. corresponded on your blog and mm-hmm. so forth, but mm-hmm. I did not know, for example, that lodgings were provided, food and lodgings.
Yes.
So, which is the way it really does have to be when you think about it. Couple more questions. Has this met up to your expectations?
Oh, more than that. And I was just going to mention that the other volunteers are coming from all different backgrounds, all different languages. And we bond. For example, where I'm staying is the Domus Spayon. It's a nice, quiet neighborhood. It's I think it's a former convent. It's very simple accommodations, nothing fancy. You do have to bring your own towels and
sure.
hygiene things and stuff. But the food, and the food is all in like a canteen, as if you were going
yeah.
to college, that type
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, right.
And
been there and done that.
Refrigerators every day. There's plenty of food. Everything's frozen. They have microwaves. When we are all in the canteen, everybody gets to know each other, and I can't believe how many people I've gotten to know already
what
in 4 days from different countries, and everybody feels the same way. Everybody's there for the same reason.
I bet you share your daily experiences. Oh, you know what happened
yes,
yesterday?
Yes.
That
yes.
has to be fun.
Yes, it really is.
And I'm sure most of them are totally uplifting and wonderful or even
mm-hmm.
funny. And
mm-hmm.
But are there any that stand out, encounters with a family, a couple, or a group that was like, gosh, I never expected this.
Well, one thing I never expected was people older than me, because I really thought it would be mostly people in their 30s or younger, and it is a lot of younger people.
Thank
and
God.
And that's great, because you have to, you know, walking back and forth from Via Conciliazione from the beginning to the Vatican, I think it's probably almost half a mile. And you're doing that more than once a day. It's a lot of walking. And it's not just the walking, it's the cobblestones.
Oh.
And I have to talk to more people like you who live in Rome. What kind of shoes do you wear? Because the cobblestones are what kill you.
They've got to be the best, most comfortable thing. You need patience when you come. I mean, not even just as a volunteer, but
yeah.
as a, you know, jubilarian, mm-hmm. a person coming for a jubilee, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot of patience and you need good shoes.
My roommate, because you have a roommate, if you're a woman, your room with another woman, or maybe two other women, if you're a man, your room with another man. She was 73. So
wow.
she's gone back home now, but because she was already there for 2 weeks.
Right.
There are some people that have been volunteering for months. I've also met a few that volunteered back in March and came back. So there's some that have done it and come back and do it again
sure.
because it's so uplifting and spiritual, and you know.
I've met one everything. Couple who's here for a year.
A year?
It's not 52 straight weeks.
I know who they are. It's Laura and Craig.
Yeah, Laura yep. and Craig. Well, because they're in
yep.
my parish,
yep.
St. Patrick's, you
yep.
know. They've been here. They have their weeks assigned. Mm-hmm. They've been able to travel. Well, very much as you said earlier to
yep.
me, you know, how much you'd love to come back just for
mm-hmm.
several months. So,
mm-hmm.
but now, in closing, Lisa, we only have a few more months of the Jubilee
mm-hmm.
left,
mm-hmm.
celebrations and indulgence, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to people who are still kind of thinking of coming in October, November, or December?
Oh, I would say definitely, if you're able-bodied and you can walk a good amount, I would say definitely do it, because this so far has been the most amazing experience of my life.
Oh.
And it makes me want to write another book about Rome.
I probably will.
Yes.
I should certainly have mentioned that. No. Lisa Petrocelli, I'm holding in my hands her book, The Heart of Rome. So I think for a senior citizen, for example, mm-hmm. you're going to come if you simply know you can do it. But just pace yourself. You might pace yourself in your hometown. Pace yourself here.
Right.
Don't try to go to all four Basilica Holy Doors in one day. Just do it. Sometimes if you don't want to walk, hey, what? Get a bus or a taxi.
Right. That's what I've been doing. So.
But have that joy. So, yeah. Last question. What are you bringing home with you from this experience of volunteering?
I'm bringing home, I think, an even deeper faith. I already have a deep faith, but more of an appreciation for the rosary, praying, being together, listening to all the prayers in different languages. I think I heard five different languages yesterday. It's inspiring, and it's so nice to feel like the faith is so alive still. Because and sometimes you feel like it's not, but when you see the things that I've seen as a Jubilee volunteer, I feel like it's alive all over the place.
Well, Lisa, I want to thank you for your time. I've enjoyed all of our exchanges. Mm-hmm. You will find Lisa Petrocelli on Facebook. Thank you for your enthusiasm, and I think you have to have inspired a lot of people that you've talked to in this week. And,
yes, I hope so. So thank you so much, Joan.
Okay.
It's such a pleasure to meet you in person, finally.
Well, I know that my listeners enjoyed that. And I bet a lot of you are going to come back to Rome. Even though you might not have decided to come for the Jubilee year, do so. And be in touch with me. Maybe we can have a coffee or a glass of wine. Take care and have a beautiful weekend.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.